Welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, August the 17th, 2024. It is Season 18, Episode 28. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome in, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. I threw our Discord link up into our Twitter announcement. So, like, if you got or email or whatever, I don't know. I don't know how it works now. There's a thing that you put in Twitter, and it's like, hey, or that you put in Twitch, and when you go live, it goes out to your Twitter. And I guess maybe they've added Facebook. I don't know. I haven't looked at it in a while. But anyway, there's a link to Discord in there, so you can find it that way if you'd like to. We are on Twitter at In-Game Chat, Facebook there as well. Streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, type In-Game Chat in the search bar. And you'll be able to join us live while we broadcast and watch the show as well. That link can also be found at our website, ingamechat.net. Scroll all the way to the bottom. Links for days of ways that you can get in touch with us. So please reach out and say hello. And while you do that, I will do this. Yeah, Bama Brian reminds me, whenever he's here, he reminds me in the chat room on Twitch to, hey, you know, do the clapboard.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, and another thing, Bama Brian, if you're on our Discord, you can see the Deadpool and Wolverine mask that he 3D printed, and I can only assume he also painted. I guess I the detail on the that's not the right mouse. The detail on the I have to do that. The detail on the Deadpool helmet where he's got what I'm guessing is kind of like dirt around the seams of the mask or whatever gets it. Hey, it's really good. Really good. Now the Wolverine mask just looks immaculate. Like brand new out of the wash. In fact, it looks like it's sitting on top of a washing machine as it is, but that looks really good, sir. Really good. So good job on that. Those can be found at our Discord. I would love to share them for you. I just don't know how to do that outside of just, you know, showing it off on Twitter or something like that. So just go to our Discord. You can see it. Really good looking stuff. 3D printing is amazing. But it takes more than that, obviously. You got to be able to sit there and do the paint and everything else. It's, you know, devil's in the details on a lot of these things.
Yeah.
When you want to do stuff like that. Where... okay, so he said the only paint he did was the weathering on the Deadpool helmet. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, wow, that's nice then. The yellow that you got for Wolverine's mask was really spot on. I mean, I would say that for the red that you used for Deadpool as well. So, that's good. Let me ask you, Bama Brian, you'll answer this later. How long did it take to print these? Just curious what the timing was on that. So anyway, welcome into the show, everybody. He'll give me that answer, and I'll jump back to it here in just a minute. So welcome to the show, everyone. And it's been a 2-week ordeal since we've been here. And I will throw it over to RJ to ask him what he played in those 2 weeks. Anything?
I'd love to tell you that I played a lot of different various things, but the only thing I did was play the standard fare of MLB The Show, Virtua Fighter, and a little bit of Balatro. I tried to get back into that because it's been a long time since I did play it. Mm-hmm. And it did show because I was not seeing certain patterns that would get me the most points possible.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to get some other decks cleared so I can get unlocked all those other decks that are available to play with and see what I can do with those. But you got to beat the basics first, and I haven't been able to do so yet.
Mm-hmm. It's been a minute since I played Balatro.
Yeah, but at least you can still remember the patterns and whatnot to look for. You play card games of that type in particular. I think Balatro is basically the only card game that I can recall ever playing. I'm losing. It's like losing the muscle memory for control schemes of games if you haven't played in a while.
When you talk about card game, you're not. I mean, you've played card games like poker and things like that. Are you talking about? I mean, card games in general. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I'm gonna forget patterns and recognitions and things like that if I don't play it enough. Apparently, because that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
If I could remember.
Never been big into myself. I mean, outside, Balatro is kind of hard to call it a card game. Since it's actually a card game.
Yeah, I mean, you're using cards and
in the most basic
like
sense,
yeah.
It is a card game. Normally, when you talk about card games, you're thinking of like Magic and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me rearrange that. Deck builders is a better way to call like Magic and a couple of other those type of games. I think those would be considered deck builders.
It's not a genre I'm familiar with, so when I see the Jokers and Kings and Aces, I'm thinking card game.
That's a card game. Yeah. That's more of a card game than any of the others that would fall under that.
I think if I recall right, the last game involving traditional cards, I think, was Poker Night in the Alley 2.
Poker Night at the Inventory.
Okay,
yeah.
That thing. Yeah.
That was Telltale Games, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They did Poker Night and then Poker Night 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that. That was back, I remember that a lot. That was, for whatever reason, video game poker had some sort of a heyday back in the 360 days. Xbox 360 with the Texas Hold'em poker that they did, mm-hmm. and they did a couple of other card games where you were playing live with other people to play. There was a big thing. Then I remember on...
I'm trying to remember, was that during time when it was on ESPN?
Yeah, well, World Series of Poker, yes.
Yeah, that thing, yeah.
I used to watch that a lot.
I mean, I watched a few here and there, but I didn't know what was going on.
Been forever since I've actually watched it. I really should look into it. They do it around the summer, although I'm pretty sure it's already over with at this point.
Mm-hmm.
At least the playback is usually around the summer. I don't know. Usually the finals take place in November. So, like, they get a final table, and then they don't do it until November, and then they do the final table. I think. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a minute since I've watched or paid attention to any of that.
Yeah.
There was a big heyday for that on your video game stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Hold'em and the other stuff that I was talking about. I can't remember what it was, but there was a poker night thing on Xbox, and it was Xbox Live. And it was a lot like the 1 versus 100, but it was you versus other poker players, and you would sit at a table and you would play and advance as you go and that sort of thing. And as you did, you'd unlock different decks, different outfits for your avatar to wear, different little things like that, and you just keep, playing your poker.
Yeah.
And then Telltale Games did Poker Night at the Inventory with a lot of their characters and then also a lot of other people's characters. They were bringing in people from Team Fortress.
Yeah.
They had Sam and Max.
I want to say the one I had was with Brock Sampson from the Venture Brothers. Claptrap, I think.
Claptrap was in one of them, yeah.
Ash from the Evil Dead.
I want to say he was as well, plus the guys from Penny Arcade were in there. So there was, the Poker Night of the Inventory 2 had a lot more characters in it than the first one did. So, I remember that. It was a big, I don't know, it kind of blew up fast and then, blew up quick and then faded fast.
Mm-hmm.
From being a thing.
Like a flash in the pan, huh?
Yeah, very quick. Very, very quick. It's kind of... Listen, in the early days of Xbox Live, things came and went at a breakneck speed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the first time for anything and everything. Things we consider now that we probably take for granted, but it was an online console the first time since Sega Dreamcast, I would say, tried to do an online console.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to like really, really do this thing. And this was for the OG Xbox. But when Xbox Live on Xbox Live Arcade and everything else came out on the Xbox 360, that had ushered in people's internets were better, that sort of thing. You were seeing previews from E3, you were getting demos the day of, and I know this doesn't sound amazing, but at that time it was. At that time, when you're sitting at work or you're sitting in class, whatever the case may be, and you're, scrolling through the internet on your browser because you weren't doing it on your phone at that time. you were doing it on a laptop or a PC, and you were reading about things going on at E3, and then you'd read, oh, there's a demo for this new game, and you can download it now on your Xbox 360. I was like, what? That's amazing. This is great. You should be able to, yeah, go ahead, do that. Anyway, the Xbox Live Arcade, because it was a storefront, which they weren't using on the original Xbox, it didn't have a storefront. Mm-hmm. Xbox Live Arcade was finally a storefront where you could buy things remotely, digitally, whatever. And everybody was in on it. Everybody was anticipating the next big release from Xbox Live Arcade. We were overjoyed and thrilled to get Uno on there. And Uno was massive. I mean, I'd have to go back and do the research for you, but if I went back, I could tell you how popular Uno was on the Xbox Live Arcade platform. Mm-hmm. And it was ever how many players, I can't remember how many were involved, but there were a lot of people involved, but it was all other people. You weren't playing bots, you were playing other people.
Yeah.
And that was a really big deal at the time.
Yeah.
And every time we would get a new release for Xbox Live Arcade, it would be, you know, I think it was like once a week we'd get these games. And you'd get an update on like, here's what's releasing. And probably some little indie thing, or maybe something that was a cloud. Oh, they're releasing Pac-Man this time, or Miss Pac-Man, or whatever. That's kind of neat. I'll buy it. It's a nice little retro thing, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But every time something would release, so Uno was huge. And then the next thing they did was they had the camera for Uno. And then you could play Uno with your Xbox Live camera attached and with your friends and everything. And yes, it brought about more problems, especially problems you're probably thinking about in your head right now. But those didn't start right off the bat. It took a minute for the immature, for the internet to demature itself. In other words, you integrate cameras into a video game now, the first thing you think of is how people will abuse it. Back then, when you introduced cameras into video games, we didn't think that. We were just like, oh man, I can see you. You're over in Texas or Washington or California, whatever. You're across the country or even across the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing you and we're playing a game together. You know, it took a minute. And by a minute, I'm saying probably took a few weeks before you started hearing reports about, oh, they're really abusing the old Xbox Live Arcade.
I was about to say literally a minute.
It didn't, though. No. Not back then. It didn't. That wasn't the first thought that came to your head at that time. You're just amazed at the tech. It wasn't until the tech became standard that people said, how can I screw this up? Or what can I do to...
It only takes one to mess it up for everybody.
You know, be 5 years old again or something. Whatever the case may be, screw it all up.
Yeah, I always credit Xbox Live for getting access to things I was like never able to for a longest time. I mean, Radiant Silver Gun was something I really wanted to pick up and play, but I could never get hold of it because it was like $200 to $300 on eBay or something. But they put it on the Xbox storefront.
Yeah,
and I was pick it up for like I think it was $15 at the time,
mm-hmm.
and I had a blast with it. And I saw
$15 I think was like 800 Microsoft points
or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I saw why this game was so cherished by virtue fans. Radiant Silvergun was a heck of a good title, man.
Yeah. So everything was like brand new, and then they did Texas Hold'em Poker, and it's like ooh, and they did Texas Hold'em Poker with the cameras, and you're still like, oh, this is great. And then it just new things would release. Braid, we talked about. The older, like I said, some of the older games would get re-released in Xbox Live Arcade that you hadn't played in a while. When the Simpsons Arcade version hit on Xbox Live Arcade, that was a big deal. There was a lot of, I mean, it was just a big deal. It was the storefront on your home console that you'd never had before.
I'm still got that on backup because I don't want to take any chance of that thing being de-licensed or something or unavailable. Simpsons Arcade game.
Oh, yeah. See,
I got the Simpsons Arcade game. X-Men arcade game. I've still got those on my PS3, and I keep backing that up whenever I think about it because...
Ninja Turtles arcade game?
I believe I do have that one.
I mean, we got to hit the Konami hits on this, and that is all of them there. X-Men, Simpsons, Ninjas, Turtles.
Mm-hmm. I do have a side-scrolling... I think it's Turtles in Time?
Maybe.
I think I got that one.
Maybe.
But if you're talking about the original one that starts with... April in the burning apartment building. Mm, that one? Yeah.
That was, I mean, because that was the one where we played it. It was like, oh, wow, this is great. You can play Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. And it looks really, and at the time it was like, this is the best. It's never going to get better than this. It's the most amazing thing I've seen. It looks just like a cartoon. Mm-hmm. Totally gets better. Yeah. I can remember, though. I can remember seeing that. I can remember seeing certain arcade games in the arcade, obviously. Yeah. Where you're looking at it, you're like,
it took up the entire corner of the whole building.
We'll never get beyond this technology. This is just amazing. It's mm-hmm. just, we've hit peak, mm-hmm. you know? Nope.
No, you haven't.
No. Nope, not at all. Probably nothing better encapsulated that than whatever that Sega game was for the time traveler thing. Where it all was hologrammy looking, and you know,
it was Time Traveler.
Time Traveler is what it's called.
The Old West cowboy.
Yeah.
Going through different eras of time to get back to his timeline. Yeah.
Yeah, that or maybe Mortal Kombat when you're looking at the, you know, that was the first time you'd seen digitized
death.
Well, not just death, but people in the game digitized.
Yeah.
Like to look exactly like that, and you're like, man, it's never going to get better than this. It absolutely got better than that. Mm-hmm. Dragon's Lair at the time blew my mind as well. It was amazing. You're playing a cartoon, right? You're absolutely playing a cartoon. That thing was tough.
Yeah.
It was that. You want to talk
a bundle on that with on PS3. It was Dragon's Lair, Dragon's Lair 2, Time Warp, and Space Ace.
Space Ace.
And I never got through Space Ace. It was just... I just kept making mistakes left and right, man.
You want to talk about twitch controls, right? Yeah, right there. Twitch controls. Better be quick on which way you're moving to the left, right, up, down, whatever the case may be. You got to be fast with the button presses.
Yeah.
You got to be able to see what it's asking for and do it, like, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
I hated that game. I loved it because of, I mean, it's Bluth animation, so I'm fine.
If you thought QTE was bad.
Okay. Yeah.
Play
this, this is QTE with like a window of opportunity set massively small
mm-hmm.
for you to be able to hit that. But and I love my QTEs
with distractions, mind you.
Yeah,
plenty
of
distractions in there. Because like I said, it was Bluth animation. There's a whole bunch of stuff to look at in a Bluth animation.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easy to get distracted and miss that window.
Yeah, I've since gone and watched like playthroughs. There'll be YouTube or something. I'll scroll through on like Facebook or whatever, and it'll just be that game being played, and you can watch it and you can see exactly what you're supposed to do. And it was interesting to see how they reused animation. Like if you were able to take all of it and not take the whole thing and run through it, you know, it's not a very long cartoon to watch. It's really not. But to go through it like it goes through, it's, it was interesting. It was fun. That came to Xbox Live Arcade as well, Dragon's Lair.
Yep.
I think Dragon's Lair is like the most ported game ever, from what I remember.
Hmm.
Like it has been on everything. It's just been ported to so many systems. But yeah. So anyway, sorry to cut you off on that about the Xbox Live Arcade. I was just saying that it was a big deal in the card games and everything else.
Yeah.
So, anything else did you
play? A little bit more of Division 2. Still trying to get little perks and things for my characters built up. I still have to go through the DLC for two of my builds, and that's going to take some time. But I've been playing with some partners on that, so it's not going to take as long as I think it's going to be. You know, because you play with folks, you can go through missions quickly. So, it's only going to be a matter of time before I get to where I want to be with that.
Yeah. As for me, I really haven't played a lot. It's been mostly Marvel Snap. And I'm trying to remember exactly all of what I played. And, not necessarily all of what I played. I'm trying to remember where I left off. I know I streamed some Snap play while we were off. And I'll probably do that tomorrow. I've got some bounties that I've saved up and got some... May try and draw for some cards tomorrow as well.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to, from everything that I've read, the card that's on offer, I need to at least try and pull. So I'll give it a shot and see. It's all random. But I've got I've got five keys. So I could probably pull. I could probably spend two to pull, maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a card that gives you extra power. Anytime a card can give you more power to play with. I say power, energy, whatever. In other words, It costs energy to play cards. And this is a card that gives you more energy to play cards with. Mm-hmm. Anytime you can get more energy means you can play more cards, which means you get more points. So it's always an advantage if you can pull energy. So may try and do a run to see if I can get that tomorrow. Maybe. Mm-hmm. We'll see. What else? I feel like I played something else, but honestly, it really has just boiled down to that. Playing Snap. I may have played some more Spiritfarer. Maybe. Did I try anything new? Well, I tried Hades as well. Very quickly tried Hades. Went through one run, didn't make it very far because the game really is just like, I think the game is a very learn-as-you-go type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a game that says, hey, do this, do that, do this, do that. Okay, now keep going. If you ever die, we're going to do this and this. You know, it's waiting for you to play it so that you can experience it, which is kind of an interesting way to do this. It's a roguelike, or a rogue, maybe it is a rogue, maybe not anything like about it. It's where you play through, you die, you upgrade, you play through again. Mm-hmm. You know? Every death is a chance to do better. In a sense. You don't start from where you left off, you start at the beginning again, but you're more powerful. You have upgrades, you have different, your attacks become better, that sort of thing. Because every time you die, you've accumulated the in-game currency, I suppose. And every time you die, you go back to the shop, you buy something that makes you better, you play through it again, you know? Buy something that extends your health, buy something that gives you more damage output and less damage taken, something like that. All kinds of different things. Upgrade this ability, that sort of thing. So it's one of those. I seriously put in very little time with it. I died once, went, and I was like, okay, I know what this is going to do. And then I stopped playing. Yeah. And I really haven't gone back to it, but we'll see. So I really haven't played much at all. I honestly haven't. I should have written stuff down, but I just have not played a lot. Watching some of the Olympics kind of put me back into I downloaded, because I have it on not Xbox, I have it on Ubisoft, the Ubisoft store. Okay. I downloaded Assassin's Creed Unity because that's the one that takes place in Paris. So I was thinking I might jump into that because I know they fixed it. I know Unity was plagued with bugs. It did not have a good start. It was nothing but buggy and everything else. And then I don't know how much long later, you know, you'd read an article saying, hey, we revisit Assassin's Creed Unity. It's better. They fixed it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's worth playing now. But so much time had passed since then, they were just like, nobody cared. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Out of sight, out of mind.
For a lot of reasons, yeah. Basically. And I mean, this was at a time when Assassin's Creed was your yearly release, right? Mm-hmm. So, in the time it took them to get this fixed, people were looking at the next one, waiting for it to come out. Mm-hmm. So, and that was Assassin's Creed Unity, by the way. AC Ray says Hades is a roguelite grinding game, but with story to make it worth it. Roguelites are games with upgrades given between sessions. Roguelikes are genuinely more all or none. Boy, okay.
Because I was listening to your description of the game, and I thought about Let It Die. One of those games about Grasshopper. Grasshopper Interact, I think it was called Grasshopper. But basically, you build a body to go up this tower, and you try to reach the top floor. And if your character dies, you can either go back and get it or just let the thing die and start over.
Was this... Okay, do I have this one? Was this the one where you...
If you call the Grim Reaper on a skateboard.
Okay. No, this is not the one I'm thinking about.
Not the one you think about?
It's not the one I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about. There was a game, and I can't remember what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Was it multiplayer? Anyway, it was kind of tower defense. Like, you would build rooms for a player to go through that had traps and all these different things, and you would build a bunch of them for them to go through, mm-hmm. and then some player would go through and try to do it. They had one life to get through, mm-hmm. and then if you killed them, then whatever. I can't remember what that was called. And for a moment there, I thought it was Let It Die. It's not. But, yeah, now I want to find out what that game was that I'm thinking of. Man, how long ago was that? Folks in the chat room, folks listening, if you guys know what that game is, you want to Google through it and see if you can figure out. It was a game that probably was released since 2020, I think. And you were either somebody who had to go through all of these different rooms that another player built, or you were the person that built the rooms that the other player had to go through, I think. I can't remember if it was multiplayer like that, but it's kind of tower defense-y. You know, I'm going to put these places here, these things here to attack this person as they come through, mm-hmm. and see if they can get through it. Man, I can't remember what it was called.
Can you remember who made it?
No, I don't remember anything. There's an image in my head of the main character was like this robotic person with this giant, I say giant, it wasn't that big. It was in comparison to the body, but kind of, it was a Japanese hat style, not Raiden-ish, but sort of, you know, big brim type thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or was that the head of the robot? I don't remember.
The details are fuzzy.
Oh, yeah. Boy, are they fuzzy. Boy, are they fuzzy. I'm going to have to look that up. And I got to figure out which one it was. But anyway, you didn't play anything. Well, I mean, you played a lot more than I did, mm-hmm. is what I'm getting at. So we got to go to a break here. I have picked, this is going back a ways to classic games. That's what week we're on this one, the older games. And this comes from the Nintendo Entertainment System. This is Micro Machines. It's the title track from Micro Machines on the NES. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this, he said. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Heavy Barrel on the NES. Apparently,
was that the tank game or the running gun by Contra?
I think it's the running gun.
Okay.
Nope. Gonna look on the internet.
Yeah, we keep doing that. We got the internet right in front of us.
Heavy Barrel.
You know, we talked about how imaginative some of the music makers were.
Yeah, it was running gun.
Yeah.
What am I thinking of? I want to say I had one in here that had tanks, but I can't remember what it was called. Mm-hmm. But anyway, go ahead.
I was saying how imaginative some music creators were with the limited resources they had.
This was not very imaginative at all. It was just repetitive.
Yeah.
3 minutes of about 10-second loop.
Yeah.
3 minutes of a 10-second loop.
Same.
With no variety.
Yeah.
There's still a minute 30 left. And I bet it still hasn't changed.
I probably have.
Nope.
Okay. you know, now it's going to be thinking, who's responsible for that?
Heavy Barrel
Data East. Okay.
Composer. I say composer. It's interesting to call that. Heavy Barrel. Composer was Azusa Yoshida. Mm. There's a lot of names. Still got a minute left.
That might be the best ringtone ever. You will force you to get up.
Oh,
and get
my
that
God.
Volume.
Turn it off. It's your alarm in the morning.
No. I've said before, the best alarm you could ever put on your phone is the drowning theme in Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, I was going to say a dog puking.
No.
But the drowning thing.
I promise you, because I've witnessed it happen.
This would wake me up in anger.
Well, I'm saying, if you make that your ringtone, you will answer that phone, but it will make you upset when you answer the phone.
Yeah.
Now you're mad at the person who called you.
Yeah, I can't believe I had three. I probably had more than 3 minutes. I probably just chopped it down, but yeah, 3 minutes of that, just over and over and over.
And if you're playing the game.
I know. I don't even know where that was. By the way, the game we were talking about earlier that all it took was AC Wraith in the chat room called Meet Your Maker. That was the name of the game. I should have looked and seen what year it came out. I had the page up, but it's gone now. So. Mm. Anyway, a lot of stuff since we've been gone, and there's plenty to go over. It's not like we're going to run into any sort of thing that's going to...
April of 2023.
Okay, I knew it had been released since 2020, and good Lord, I feel like it's been out for years, but it's only been out for over a year. Mm-hmm. Just a little over a year. It's only been out that long, but it did not... feels like longer for some reason. Mm-hmm. So... We'll run down the list of things here. Some streamer was streaming Bloodborne trying to call attention to the fan demand for a PC port. Yes, people want a remaster. They'll take a remaster. They just want more Bloodborne.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's the same Bloodborne, but it's on PC. Or it's a remaster that's on the console. They'll take that. They don't care. They want more. They want Bloodborne.
Mm-hmm.
If it's more Bloodborne, they're fine. If it's the same Bloodborne but looks better, they're fine. Mm-hmm. They'll take it. Like, that's all they want. They want more Bloodborne. Either old Bloodborne looking good or new Bloodborne. They'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Any of it. Just any of it. You know?
So at this point, I'm trying to figure out what's the holdup.
That's a good question.
I mean, from getting it to PC, I mean, what is the holdup?
Sony owns it, right?
From Software, so.
But I mean, it's not been on any platform other than PlayStation.
Right.
It never got a release on Xbox or Switch. It never had a release on any other platform. It was only ever on the PlayStation, which gives me the idea that Sony owns it. Now, if Sony does own it, there's precedent for them to release...
Sony. Sony does own it, yeah.
Now, they own... So that's the thing. Sony has put out on PC first-party titles. While Sony does own Bloodborne, it is not a first-party title. Sony does not own From Software.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I missed a news article. But Sony doesn't own From Software. And so in order to do a PC port, it would either have to be done through one of their studios, but it would have to be done with the original game itself to do a remaster to port it over to PC, mm-hmm. or it would be something that they would have to give the go-ahead to do for From Software. Apparently, From Software can't do anything with it without Sony's approval. If Sony owns the game, the rights to the game, even though From Software is the developer on it, I hate that that's the case.
Hmm. Goodness.
Yeah.
Came out in 2015, almost 10 years old.
It still looks amazing.
Yeah.
By the way, the game still. Pumping out some decent visuals.
Yeah, here's the hoping for some 10-year anniversary news that they'll actually bring it out for 2025. I don't know.
It'd be great if they did. I mean, I know that the rumor mill, I say the rumor mill, but I know that the internet will speculate that that's what's going on.
Yeah.
That, maybe, okay, we don't get it this year, but maybe next year because it's 10 years, right?
Yeah, it'd be the 10-year anniversary.
The thing about it is we haven't heard a blip. We haven't heard any sort of, there hasn't been job listings. There hasn't been rumors. There hasn't been talk. What's scuttlebutt?
Yeah.
That's a thing.
No leaks.
There's been nothing to indicate that this has been worked on, approved, being worked on. There is nothing that has let slip that we might get something like that at all, ever.
Yeah.
There has only been rumor and speculation. There's never been, hey, signs point to we might be getting this next. Nope, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. And you know how hard it is for people to keep their mouths shut for a lot of things.
Yeah, look, we live in the age of leaks. Leaks all the time. So, some intentional, some not.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, absolutely. I don't think it's happening next year.
Yeah.
It could in a way that we absolutely don't want it to.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like we're going to release a remaster. They pulled the old game and said, upscale it. Don't go into it and put any effort into it.
Mm-hmm.
Just, run it through an upscaler or something like that and just make it look good or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
A cheap cash grab, I suppose. That's another thing. They own the property. And as much as people talk about this, you'd think they'd do another cash grab on it and say, hey, here's the enhanced version for PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. Excuse me. Does that take a sip? So anyway, Bloodborne, we get a new one or another one or a same one, we're fine. We just want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I say we as though I'm one of the players of Bloodborne. I'm not. Although, out of all of the things that From Software has done, with maybe the exception of Elden Ring, I'm kind of interested in Elden Ring. Bloodborne was the one that I liked the most.
Mm-hmm.
I was not into the Dark Souls or Sekiro or... just none of that ever pulled me in, but Bloodborne actually I really liked.
So what parts of Bloodborne pulled you
the
in?
The aesthetic, the setting.
Oh, the looking?
The
Victorian London?
The Victorian thing, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Top hats and scarves and all that stuff.
Well, not to mention that main character, yes.
Yeah.
But just plague-ridden Victorian London, you know? was a wonderful setting and the other reason that it sticks out for me is because I never got into, as you know, we've talked about it back then, mm-hmm. when they released Dark Souls was not my game.
Yeah.
Those type of games were not my thing. They're absolutely yours, but they just were never my thing. And so whenever Bloodborne got released, I said, I'm going to play that one. I'm not going to try and play Dark Souls 2 or Dark Souls 1 or whatever. Let me get in ground floor fresh on this, whatever this is going to be,
mm-hmm.
and let me play it. And I played it and I liked it. I wasn't good at it, but I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought if I played more of it, I'd get better at it. Problem is, I never played more of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really did enjoy it. I really, really enjoyed it.
Did other titles come along to get in the way?
Oh, I would imagine so. I don't remember what they were at the time, but I would imagine easily that that would have happened. I can easily see that that would have happened. And it also made me nervous to play because it's like at any moment I could die and lose all my stuff. I'd have to go back and get it, but whatever.
Yeah, you can get it back.
Just one of those type of things. It's like at any moment it could happen. So I don't even know if I ever died on my playthrough. I didn't get very far in... Where maybe to the bridge on the first level, I think. There was a bridge. Why do I think there's a bridge? Anyway.
There were plenty of bridges in that game.
Yeah.
Plenty of overpasses anyway. Under the bridge, over the bridge, things like that.
This was a rather big bridge, and I think it had a boss fight on it, maybe? I don't remember.
The one with the exploding bomb. Pushed by the villagers on it.
Boy, it'd take forever for me to. I'd have to go. Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah,
I think I remember that.
Yeah, I know one of the bridges involved a bomb, a huge one of them big mm-hmm. Looney Tune type boulders being pushed towards you.
Yeah,
that type of thing.
I think I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Bloodborne. We need it. What
I need,
else?
I need to finish it. I got the DLC to go through on that. So force myself to get that game, start playing it, and get to the DLC that I should finish.
Yeah.
For next time. Yeah.
Drunk Josh is saying there is a bridge. He says, was the boss some white antlered creature that screeched a lot? I don't remember, man. I really don't remember.
The Vicar?
That's probably what he's talking about.
Vicar Amelia, I think her name was.
I don't remember this being a person. I remember it being an animal.
Vicar Amelia, yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Because she, I think she mutated. Kind of a wolf-like form.
Nah, this kind of flew. I want to say it was on, well, like it would be on one side of the bridge, and then it would move to the other side of the bridge, and then it would move. And it didn't do that. It would do that depending on where I was on the bridge. I could be completely wrong, man. I'm trying to remember back through COVID and a heart attack all the way almost 10 years ago. And that is not good for me to try and do.
Okay. Vicar Amelia was in the church. I know that. And then there was another beast. I forget its name, but it had one dark black fur, mutated hand, and it was on a bridge during sunset, and it jumped over your head.
Sunset. Yeah. Yes, that rings a bell. Josh says the cleric beast.
That's
I think.
It. Yeah, that cleric beast. Yeah, that was the big black fur beast that jumped over your head.
Okay.
To get away, and then you had to turn around and hopefully wasn't charging at you from behind. Okay. When you look behind you.
That may have been it. Yeah. That was probably it. Then was that early in the game?
Yeah.
That's probably it. Yeah. I promise you, I did not get very far in that game at all. So, if it does get a PC release, I am there, though. Let's see. What else do we have for gaming news for you? Sony Santa Monica is making its first new IP in over 20 years. We don't know what it is, but it's been 20 years since they've released a brand new intellectual property, and so they are working on that now. No idea, again, what it is. When we're going to see anything about it, who knows? What else do we have? No, speaking of Balatro, it has sold 2 million copies. And a major gameplay update is coming next year to the game. I think also next year we're going to get a cell phone version or a mobile version.
Mm-hmm. That's just me. I still prefer playing console or PC, if that's the case.
I wouldn't mind having it on my phone, my iPad, or something like that, especially if you've got some minutes to kill. I mean, you can play a quick game of Balatro, especially with the way that it's so set up to easily save between, I mean, at least it was for PC, where...
Console as well.
Yeah, and I guess on console also.
Just quit the game. It'll be there when you get back.
Yeah, exactly. Where you left off. There's no timer. There's nothing else. It was just where you left off. There it is. You're set.
Yep.
It's better to go with your momentum than to like stop in the middle of a hand, just for the fact that you know what your Joker cards are doing and what your current method of play to maximize your wins was at the time. Mm-hmm. I would always try and stop when I got to the store, after I'd done a hand. And if I knew that I don't have time to do the next one, I wouldn't progress from there.
Yeah, the store is a good stopping point. Yeah, it's like... When you get to the 6th, 7th ante, and things get hectic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to take a break.
Right.
So you do it that way as well.
Definitely. And you've got to remember what your, I mean, we talked about this because I used to break in between. I'd be like, I lost my momentum because I had to remember this is what the cards do and this is how I'm supposed to play them. And if I broke after that and I came back and I'd be like, oops, I was supposed to do that first.
And which hands did I...
which ones were I trying to work with? Yeah,
Which hands did I improve?
That's exactly right. So,
But in terms of expanding Balatro, other than making new types of jokers, how else could you expand the game? If that's the case, other than more decks... More decks and jokers with different perks or whatever. That's one of the things I can think of for that game. But we'll see.
Yeah. The Suicide Squad, which I still haven't played. I have it for free. I should have done something with it, but I didn't. I got it free on the Epic Game Store. But that game, the disaster sales of that game, led to a 41% drop in revenue for Warner Brothers Gaming. I'm trying to see if there was any kind of, I don't know. I don't like to point at a company and say, ha, see, you should have done this, you know? I would definitely look at whoever the head of Warner Brothers Gaming is and totally point that out and say, ha, you were supposed to do this. Because I don't think the developers wanted to do any of this. I think the developers were working on something else before Warner Brothers told them to.
Yeah, I think you talked about it. It was like we were planning this, and then you wanted this for games mm-hmm. and service, so we had to put this on top of this. And
we had to shift it all, yeah.
Shift it all together into some hodgepodge mess of whatever, and as usual, throw it out there, we'll fix it mm-hmm. on the fly. But
yeah, because you remember there were leaks of like the in-game screens and everything of where you could buy XP or buy, you know, it was done in a whole thing where you could buy extra this, that, and sort of, and it got a lot of pushback, so much so that they delayed the game for what we thought was to kind of smooth that over or remove it altogether. Mm-hmm. And they did kind of a combination of both, but it was still the stench of a games as a service was still baked into it. Mm-hmm. Still smelled funny. Mm-hmm. Had that nasty, greedy smell that a game has, where you play it and you feel like too many people who don't know about playing video games put their hands in this. You know? Yeah. Too many people who...
You couldn't read the room, could you?
Well, no, they were reading everybody else's room. They were reading the success of other games' rooms. You know what I'm saying? Like they were looking at, hey, this is how you make money. This is how can we make money off of this? You release a game that continues to charge people money after they buy it. Mm-hmm. And we want to make those. And the best way we can do that is with this developer that has done so well with us in the single player portion of games. And with this specific character, so let's put a bunch of characters on them and not make it single player and make it a games of service. And people will eat that up. And they didn't. Which, bravo to the people for not eating it up. I was almost one of them that wanted to chow down on that sandwich. But it was, I know, I'm whatever. I'm not hungry. I'm just making weird, stupid... metaphors.
No, there's a certain sandwich that we can't say on radio that I immediately thought of when you.
Yeah. That was.
That's not the sandwich you want to buy.
Featured in a famous South Park episode. When you were electing politicians, mm-hmm. you had to either miss this or that sandwich. Yeah, and neither one was good. Yeah. But that was the whole thing. The game had nothing but a feeling of being. Too many people had put their hands all over it to ruin it. And I do not mean the developers. I mean a bunch of people who don't make games had too much input into the making of that game.
Yeah.
You know, and you wonder now why studios quit when they're ahead type of thing. A lot of the times it can come from just this. A lot of the times it comes from two different things. But it all comes from studios wanting to make money, which is what they're supposed to want to do. I get it. But I remember, and I've told this story before, but I remember having lunch with Amy Hennig after Uncharted 3.
Right.
And we were having lunch somewhere. I can't remember where. But we were having lunch. And I remember we were just talking about things. And I remember asking her, you know, before I go, I was like, hey, so Uncharted 4 next? And she had a big eye roll and a big sigh. And she's like, yeah. As in, of course. It's another, you know, they're going to make me do it again. You know, she was tired of doing that. She didn't want to do more Uncharted. The studio wanted her to do more.
But because
Uncharted.
It made money and it's popular, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
If you don't think they're down the neck of Druckmann now, you better give us another Last of Us, or you better give us something that's very close to another Last of Us. You know what I'm saying? I can easily imagine that they're pushing on him to do it again. Hopefully, he has the freedom, especially with how big that franchise has gotten with the television series and just that sort of a deal, that he can sort of say, I don't have a story for another Last of Us.
Yeah, because I was about to say, I mean, this is a, Last of Us is a story-based game.
Yeah.
And with movies, movies and books, I mean, anybody who's entertained by movies and books, you know there's a certain point where it ended, and if it goes any further than that, you're going to ruin the... You can't go too far. Trying to extend it further than it's supposed to.
Oh, no, totally.
Because I'm thinking of the ending of Last of Us 2. I'm like, I was thinking, okay, it should end there.
Yeah, I was thinking of Dexter. Mm-hmm. The television series.
Yeah.
I was thinking of season 8 of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
There's been tons of times where it's like, boy, you had it there, but you didn't let it go.
It was a good place to stop, but you wanted the money grab.
But that's my point. It's like, I bet Rocksteady was tired of making Batman games. I bet they were absolutely like, can we stop now? We would love to make other games.
You see how many villains we put in here?
I know. Like, I'm sure that they sat there and thought, can we just, we'll make you another superhero game, but can we not make a Batman game anymore, please? Can we just stop making those? And it's like, okay, fine. Well, here's games set in the Batman universe, obviously, but here's more DC. You get the whole DC superheroes to mess with. Here it is. But we want you to monetize it. We want you to do all this. We got to do all that. And whatever they were working on, then it got scrapped, and then they had to work on something else because Warner Brothers dictated that, you know, I say dictated, demanded. Like, they are dictators, but
close enough.
Yeah, they demanded, you know, or whatever, put them on a path of making this, and it, and now they're paying for it. 41% drop in gaming revenue. They won't say that it's the fault of the genre they picked as a games as a service type thing. They'll just be like, ah, Rocksteady, you screwed up. No. That's why I hate that, because the people who should be taking blame for that won't. They won't get the blame for it. It'll be the people who are forced to make the game that gets the blame.
Yeah, we see plenty of blame shifting when things like this happen.
Yeah.
Because the first thing you want to think of, who's at fault?
And yeah,
that's
yeah.
When, that's when the finger pointing starts.
Yeah, and there's different ways to look at that, but we got to take a break here. We're at the top of the hour, beyond it, actually. Going back to, we're going to go to the NES again, I guess. Maybe all of these come from the NES. I don't think they do, but I think so far these do. This is a game called Karnov. K-A-R-N-O-V.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Karnov. It's a stage theme from the game. So, yeah, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. We talked about this game, well, obviously we haven't done a show since, well, 2 weeks ago. And it was before even, I think, further than that. Side Pocket.
Mm-hmm.
On the Nintendo Entertainment System. Okay. One of the very first games I ever owned for that system. And it was a pool game.
Yep.
Would I ever consider buying, well... Yes, I would consider buying a pool game because you can find them on sale usually on like Steam and stuff.
I bought a couple.
Like $2 or something like that.
Yeah, Pure Pool. Yeah, Pure Pool I picked up.
That's one.
Yeah.
But if you go back to... Curious what the retail price of that game actually was when it released.
Side pocket.
Yeah, because as like a six-year-old, it felt like $90. I know it wasn't.
$39.99 probably.
But like when you're, you know, the amount of money that you have as a kid is going to get spent on a video game. What was that?
I'm looking up side pocket prices on NES, and something on here said $268, and that's
really laughed. Is that for like eBay?
It better be for eBay or something like that.
I'm curious. I still have my cart, and probably I don't know how close I am to being a hoarder. But when I was younger, I did not throw away my boxes for anything. The boxes hang, you know, that's a thing that stuck with me through adulthood mostly.
Boxes keep the dust out so you won't have to blow on it when you put it in the console. There you go.
Yeah, that wasn't my reasoning. I would love to say that it is, so that it sounds sane, but it's not. My reasoning was, I spent the money for this game. I'm not throwing away anything of it, you know?
Okay. You had the collectability gene back when you were 16, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Do you know how many boxes I acquire now when I buy video games? Absolutely none. Because they're almost all digital.
Yeah. Plus you're buying a limited edition something from, yeah.
But on my bigger purchases, I normally almost keep the box. Like if I buy a console, I keep the box that it came in.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times because, well, most of the time the stores don't really care that you have the box. They care that you have the machine and the cords that go with it.
Yeah.
And they're like, if you got all that, we'll give you whatever the value is. If you happen to have the box and everything else, we don't give you extra, but nice of you to know that you're that neurotic. But anyway. But yeah, I kept all that stuff. And there is the side pocket box is burned into my brain. It's this gold looking, goldish brown mustard looking thing. The side pockets and like some silver writing over there. It's got some dude leaning over the table about to hit and probably some woman sitting on the side of the table.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like.
It is not in front of me. It is in front of you, but it's not in front of me. I can't see it, but I got it.
It is a gold-colored outside frame with a Data East logo at the top.
That's
Nintendo
right,
seal. Nintendo seal.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Side pocket is in a red diamond with a gold outline and gold lettering.
Is it?
Yeah. There's a guy leaning over the table about to hit the cue ball into the three ball, and there's a woman observing him sitting on a bench, sitting on a pool bar stool, watching him play.
Right, yeah. I'm looking for it now. Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, now I got it. Oh, man. Look at that. Oh, so many memories. Did you ever find a price on, like, what it was when it first came out?
No, I see a bunch of comparison prices on...
1987. I was 9.
I got varying prices, like, graded. The 200, almost $300 I looked at, that was like a graded price or something. Yeah. But for the most part on eBay, it's like in the teens, and some prices under that. But I think it's like cart only.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
But I would imagine... What, $29.99, $39.99, something like that?
See, that didn't feel that way to me back then.
Yeah.
It did not feel like games were $30, and I feel like they were. I feel like I lived through the inflation of video games, but it was only ever going to grow. The amount of money they have to spend to make a video game now is exactly why we're at a place where we're paying what we're paying for video games right now.
Hmm.
So if that was like $30 or $35, for me it was an entire summer of yards that I cut, you know, or whatever it was that I don't know how I got money back then, because I did not have an allowance. By the way, that was money from birthdays and teeth pulling or whatever else, and any way you could get money as a kid that didn't involve an allowance, I was probably doing it. But it was a lot to spend on a video game.
Yeah.
Little 8-bit. Doot-doot-doot. Anyway, enough reminiscing. Sorry. Let's jump in back into the news that we were going for here. Ready at Dawn is closed. I didn't know that Meta owned Ready at Dawn. I'm sure I remember when that happened. We probably talked about it. But yeah, now it's done. Ready at Dawn are the ones that did The Order 1886, which, by the way, not a bad game. It takes a lot of flack, but it wasn't that bad. It might have been a little pricey for the amount of time you got to play it. It might have been a little bit too much cinematic over anything else, but it wasn't bad in that regard. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I remember, I think that was a Redbox game I did, when you could do Redbox back then.
Yeah.
Rented it. I beat it in one night, a massive 6 to 8 hour session. I don't know. I started it when I got home. I finished it, and I took it back the next day. Because that's all it was. It was a single-player, one-and-done type thing.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of the reason why nobody bought it. Because there was absolutely nothing to add to it, and it wasn't very long to begin with. Mm-hmm. It looked fantastic. This was a PlayStation 4 game that just really kind of blew you away with what you were seeing. Mm-hmm. It was insanely pretty. But it just didn't have lasting power. Not that a game like that needed multiplayer, but there was just nothing else to bring you back in. I don't even know if there were hidden objects or little things that you could find or something. I don't remember what it was, but there wasn't much to it other than the game itself. Obviously, maybe some achievements, trophies, whatever it was, but that was about it. Never got a PC release, never really got a remaster or anything like that. Never got talk of a sequel, and of course now Ready at Dawn is shut down. I want to say I have that album. I have that vinyl soundtrack for The Order. And I may have it signed. I can't remember. I know I took it to Penny Arcade Expo, I think. I don't know if it was the San Antonio one or if it was the Seattle one, but I think I got it autographed. I'm trying to remember the composer's name. Jason Graves, I think, is the composer. And now I have to look that up because... show me, composer. Jason Graves! God, I'm so glad my memory works sometimes. You'll have to forgive me. I'm very much... when I can remember something that may just seem very obvious to everybody else, but when I can remember something, it is an achievement like you wouldn't believe. Because my memory has been completely screwed by the heart attack and COVID that I had. It's not trustworthy anymore. I know you might be thinking, well, no, it's age. You got older. And I was like, no. I remember specifically coming out of the COVID fog and the heart attack that happened preceding it, where my memory was shot on a lot of things that I normally was much better about, but it was gone. It was gone. So when I can remember things like that, I'm very, very pleased with myself. So let me have the win. What else do we have for news here? Star Wars Outlaws, which I believe is coming out pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it out already? No, it's coming out pretty soon. Was hoping to see when it's actually coming out. But I'm not seeing it. However, they have announced the season pass. It's a $40 season pass that comes with 2 story packs. That'll be released later this year. And in fact, the first one...
August 30th.
Yeah. Bleh. Bleh.
The release date
for... Oh, the release date for the game is August 30th. Yes.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say that the first one is in the fall of this year called Wild Card. And so, yeah. Those are the story missions for that. Star Wars Outlaws is actually kind of... I know that I talked about it earlier about not being interested in it, but after watching some gameplay and listening to people talk about it, that I think it's kind of Red Dead, but in Star Wars terms. Like, it's just go out, do what you want to do in the Star Wars universe. Just go out there, do what you want to do, maybe follow a storyline here and there, but just, you know, there it is. Go do it. So I'm kind of interested in that. Might pull me in that way. I don't know if it's going to pull me in at launch. I'll wait and see what the reviews say, but it might pull me in. Any interest in it for you? You're not a Star Wars guy, right?
No.
Nah, I didn't think so.
No.
And that's fine.
I think we talked about a while back how, I forget when, but when's the last time you wanted to buy a game at launch? Not many. It was like, I think we talked about not many titles that you want to buy right at launch.
Want to, there's a lot. Mm-hmm. Ones that I actually would pull the trigger on, very few.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot that I want at launch, just because I want to be in there playing it. But that, but for a lot, and that's, you're hitting on a point there. A lot of the reasons I don't jump in the pool right when it opens is because later on, I can jump in and it's a lot cheaper.
Much cheaper.
You know?
Much cheaper.
It's a lot cheaper to do. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for on a lot of things. I'm just like, I'll pick it up during a sale. Is it something that I'm really going to dive in and play right now? Dude, I still have Spider-Man 2 for the PlayStation 5 that I bought for $7.
Yeah.
Digitally.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have not fired it up.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
It'd be something to play. I don't really know why I haven't done that, but I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. There's currently a sale on Steam going on right now, and there's a Need for Speed sale where a couple of those Need for Speed titles that Criterion worked on, my old Burnout folks worked on,
right,
that are hitting the $5, $6 range, that's kind of pulling me in.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I've played them and I own them on like the EA store maybe or whatever, but these are on Steam. So those are kind of pulling me in. And there's also a Wholesome game sale going on right now.
Okay.
Which I really love those, because those are usually your really relaxed and chill and those type of games that are just like, these are really fun, but they're also not demanding of you too much upon anything. They're not asking a lot for you physically to, like, you know, make sure you can twitch controls and stupid things like that. They're not asking a lot for you from paying attention to it. They're not asking a lot for you from the money. It's just a real chill, relaxed type environment.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of things going on in that sale that I'm looking at as well. So a lot of the times what I do is I just add these to my cart, and then I go back through and I'm like, you know what? Let's see if we can bring that price down. And then I start eliminating things out of my cart until I've eliminated everything and talked myself completely out of it and said, I'll wait and get it next sale. So,
Yeah, for my case, it would be Lies of P. That is a title.
That's on sale right now.
Yeah.
On PC.
On PC, yeah. That was a title I was really interested in and wanted to pick up, but I didn't get it on the day it came out. And I've had other games to play and things of that nature. And by the time I get around to actually picking it up, I mean, between the backlog and playing other things, I mean, that thing might drop to, I don't know, probably under 30 by the time I get around to it. I mean, the last time I checked, it was like 45, I think, on PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
Yeah, digitally, for like $45, as opposed to $60 when it was released about a year ago.
Yeah.
Mid-September last year when it was released, and a year later, now it's dropped to 45, so it might drop even further by the time I get around.
By the time you actually get to it, not bad.
Yeah.
Let's go. I don't know if he's there. We got Duke Frukum's in the Discord there. I don't know if he's...
Hey, now.
There he is.
What's going on?
God, I haven't talked to you in forever, dude. What's going on?
I really just catching the end of the show here. I thought I'd pop in. Yeah, I haven't really been around, even though I have been gaming a lot. Just
I've noticed.
just our schedules a little bit don't align at this time of the day.
No, I get it. But I appreciate you popping in and saying hello.
Yeah, no, I always want to stop in and see what you guys are up to and what you're playing and what the topic's about. I'm getting ready for Star Wars. That's really my game of the year.
Really? The Outlaw? Star Wars Outlaws?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I can't wait.
We were just talking about, well, I don't know if you were in the, yeah, you were there. We were just talking about that. But, so yeah, you're jumping into that, huh?
I'm probably going to get the Well, I'm just looking at it. The pack, the pre-order, whatever the second one is, the gold edition. So I'm taking a chance because it includes the season pass. I'm hoping the season pass is worth it.
So what has drawn you into buying this on day one? I mean, getting it at launch. What's drawn you into that?
Well, Division. So I'm a huge Division fan. Their attention to detail in those games is, I think it's, you know, unparalleled to anything that's ever been developed before.
Yeah.
And so I'm carrying that into what they're going to do with the Star Wars lore and the attention to detail that you can find in those games. I sunk a ton of time into the first Division. The second one, not so much. But both those games, I think, have stellar storytelling, and they kind of tread the line on PvE versus PvP, you know, trying to appease people, and they're trying to appease it. They figured it out for the first game, and then the second game, it kind of got in, you know, they just kind of fell into the season trap, I think, where it just became the same. With certain games, you can do that. Like Diablo, it works really well when you do kind of like a new season. But for The Division, the missions didn't vary all that different from... And that's not to say that Diablo does, but Diablo does it in a way where there's something unique about the season that makes replaying or continuing to play it worthwhile. And The Division, it kind of got a little stale, you know, doing that. But... I don't know if there's... I haven't even read if there's ever going to be a PvP element to this, but just the way that they've kind of handled and responded to the feedback of the fans in both those games, that also kind of, you know, is part of me, of why I'm kind of trusting them and ordering it.
Yeah, RJ had mentioned earlier on in the show that he's been playing through Division 2, right? Or first one?
Division 2.
Yeah. He's been playing through. But you never got into Division, the first one, right?
I've never played the original Division.
Right.
Yeah, just Division 2 is when I first started. It was like free.
Yeah.
And so we picked it up and me and my friend started playing it and we just went
Which it's fun there. To do when you're playing with other people, when you've got a team to play with. It's actually very fun to enjoy that with.
Mm-hmm.
What did I read that there was co-op for this?
Oh, no.
No.
No, I don't. There shouldn't be. No,
no, there's not.
This is a straight story. Outlaws is a straight story game, or
so far. But okay. I don't know if there's going to be like some kind of, who knows what they could be thinking of. You know, like it's hard to even think that there was a multiplayer element to Division. You know, because that's the other thing too, that where Division stands out, because it is a co-op game. You can play it solo, or you can, you know, team up with three other people, and. Just the variety of the gameplay. There was this, I think I spoke about it on the show a while back. There was in the first game, there was a game mode called Survival, and it's a way where it puts all players on the same even starting point.
Right.
Where you're basically dumped into the map with nothing, and you have to find literally everything in under a certain time, and it's like a blizzard. Right. So you don't have it's not like you can take your time looting and trying to find things. You have to find clothes because you're going to freeze to death, and you have to find all the guns that you want to use and carry. And then we get to a certain point where you're geared up enough. Then you make it into the dark zone. And the dark zone is where all the fun happens. That's where all
that.
The players kind of converge. And it's cool, too, because there's like a scoreboard that pops up in the middle. It's where it says like there's 10 players left.
Right, there's like there's a risk reward to it, right?
Well, with survival, you have to get to the dark zone. Otherwise, you'll die. But the reward when you get to the dark zone and extract is like mega rewards with loot and things that you can kind of carry over into your main character. And the whole experience is great because you can do PvE or you can do it PvP. So you can actually go in co-op with your guys and be like, all right, you check this street, I'll check this street. And you're kind of working together and then you get to the middle of the zone and that's where the higher, the more elite enemies are to be prepared. And if you're not, then you'll die by the hunters and you won't get anything. So you'll get a tiny bit of XP. Like they'll say, okay, thanks for trying, but that's really not why you play. But and is where it gets really cool, because when everybody gets in the dark zone, now it's you're not just fighting, you know, the PvE element, but you're also fighting the other guys trying to get to the extraction. And then sometimes you can see somebody extract, and you're like, oh, let's go there, you know, and then maybe we'll take their loot, or they'll, you know, kick our butts or whatever. But that's the fun part about that gameplay mode.
Yeah.
But they had a great, the ideas that they carried through those games, I'm hoping you see a little bit of that kind of bleed into the Star Wars lore.
Star Wars Outlaws, yeah. It's not necessarily been on my, for the longest time watching gameplay of it, back when they were showing that off, I was just like, this is not drawing me in. There's nothing here. Then somebody described it or talked about it, or I read a headline or something where it was basically, they said something where it's Red Dead, but put into the Star Wars setting. And suddenly that clicked for me. Mm-hmm. That actually made sense to me then. Where it was like, yeah. Oh, so I can just go and play the game however I want to. This is not a story. I mean, it does have a story to it, but it's not a story specific thing. I can just play the story as I want. Otherwise, I can just go wherever I'd like to and just, you know, do exactly what I did with Red Dead.
I saw a headline too. It said, like, it's an Ubisoft game with all the, like, bad Ubisoft stuff taken out of
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like, I haven't seen towers. I haven't seen.
You don't, like, unlock a certain mm-hmm. region to get to, like, a, you know, which I understand, you know, like Far Cry and Assassin's Creed, they just lived off that formula for forever, it seemed. And then I think you started seeing people get tired of that.
Yeah. And you're jumping in on this with PC?
Ooh, that's another good point that you brought up, because I looked at the system requirements for this thing.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, boy. I've been debating actually ordering a new PC like this week. I'm like, should I just do it? Because anytime you see the exact specs of your computer on the recommended, you're probably at a disadvantage already.
Oh, no. I'm looking this up now. I have to look this up.
Yeah, I just had it up too. I think the recommended at high is you need a...
Oh, wait, this was updated. This was done one day ago. I guess no wonder I haven't seen it.
Yeah, that's pretty new information. They said, what is it? High, you need a GeForce RTX 4070.
God.
Jeez.
For Ultra, you need a 4080.
Oh, you're talking... Okay, no. Oh, my God, the Ultra... Okay, so there's the specs are different. They start at minimum, recommended, enthusiast, and Ultra. Now, mm-hmm. I don't have a 4K monitor, so I'm not looking at Ultra at all. 4K, 60 frames per second, I'm not looking at that. When I drop to Enthusiast, 1440 at 60 frames per second, I need a 4070, which is not what I got.
Now, I haven't played PC games in a van a long time, but Enthusiast? That's a new one. That's a new one.
That is a new one, I know. You're right. That is a new one.
I've always looked at minimum and nothing else, because if I could hit minimum, I'm not really into the higher specs, but Enthusiast...
I'm good with the recommended if I want to play it at 1080 at 6. So what are you going to do, Steve?
So what is the recommended? It's 3060 Ti?
3060 is the recommended. Not a Ti, just 3060.
Are you sure? Because I'm looking at it straight from the Ubisoft Connect.
Well, then, hang on. There is an image here, and I could look at that and see what it says.
And it says GeForce RTX 3060 Ti.
Oh, it does say Ti. You're right, it does.
Okay.
The article that I'm looking at on PC Gamer does not add the Ti to it, so you're exactly right.
Yeah, I'm running a 3080.
I am too. And I dread trying to upgrade from that. I thought, boy, this will last me a while. No.
Yeah, I also remember running at ultra wide, so I'm not really running it today. I'm kind of in between the recommended and the high. For what they're talking about, so I'm not really sure what I'm going to expect. I don't think I'm going to get anywhere near 60.
So you are going PC on this?
Oh yeah, no, PC all the way. I don't even own a PS5 at this point.
Okay.
But yeah, I've been just thinking about getting a new PC, just to kind of reset everything and.
Nah, I get you. Yeah. I totally get you.
So how many frames do you think you're going to get with your current setup?
Well, it's a good question. So, like, Division Two at Ultra, at Ultra Wide, I can get like 112 in a good area, and then it kind of drops, I think, down to like 80, 70 during like the high combat. So again, that's with multiplayer too. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be 60 though. I think it's going to be below. And if it's below that, I'm probably not going to play it. I'm probably going to hold off and wait so that I can, you know. I mean, the G-Sync works really well if you drop to 50, but anything lower than that, and it kind of, you know, it becomes obvious.
Yeah.
You know, the G-Sync keeps up with some of that frame drop a little bit. That's the power of the hardware. But
what do you run on a processor? Are you Intel or AMD?
No, it's an AMD.
Yeah.
I forget which one.
Okay.
I can look it up though.
Yeah, mine's a 75800X, I believe.
I'm a Ryzen 7 5800X.
Same as me.
Yeah, same as you. Mm-hmm.
Yep, same one that I got there. So.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Hopefully, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I'm curious about that, and hopefully you'll get back on the show whenever you play it and tell us about it, because I don't think I'm going to jump in on it at the beginning of this. Probably going to wait and see how it pans out as far as people liking it, that sort of thing. Also, keep in mind, and this is just a tip for everybody listening as well, we're in the middle of August, but we're approaching the end of August. This is a Ubisoft title. Ubisoft are notorious for having massive sales for Black Friday. So consider it if you want to, but I am almost certain within 4 months' time, maybe less, because I'm not doing the math right, maybe less than 4 months, probably closer to three, you're probably going to see it on sale for probably at most maybe half price, maybe drop to $30 on a Black Friday deal. Probably for console more than PC, by the way.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, I don't know.
No.
It would be a very steep discount.
Ubisoft console games get that discount like you wouldn't believe. Ubisoft PC games aren't so lucky. Because usually it's stuff in the retail stores. Like, you know, pick this up, you're going to get a bundle, blah, blah, blah. Here's this game. These are doorbuster prices, that sort of thing. They drop them down to $30 or $40. Pick it up for probably 40. Pick it up for $40. On whatever. But usually the PC ones don't get that kind of a discount.
Yeah, I remember the console. I think there was a difference between console and PC, but I'm trying to remember. Was there anything half off last year? Because I think we mentioned something like
I'd have to go back and look at my list and the spreadsheet that I have. I'd have to go back and look at that to see what got discounted. But I do remember, and it wasn't this year. It was the year before.
Yeah.
It was the Sonic Frontiers. Was that the new Sonic game? Kind of open world, whatever.
I think, yeah.
I wanted the PC version because apparently there were no problems or whatever the problems might have been with the PC. You still got better frame rate, better visuals. You could do some amazing things with that game, and I really wanted a PC. The console versions had dropped the price. The PC had not.
Yeah.
Because it's different. For whatever reason, it's different. And your physical copies for console get a better discount than your digital copies for PC, which I always thought that was strange. And we've got to take a break here, but I've always thought that was weird because your storefronts that are digital, whether it be Sony's own storefront, like their own first party titles, were more expensive to buy through their digital storefront than it were to go and buy it at a store for half off. They get more of the cut through the digital, which is why I don't see why you wouldn't entice them to buy it from digital over going to the store and buying it there. Because you get more of the company gets more of a cut of that sale. There's no middleman. They don't have to pay Best Buy or Target or Walmart or whoever.
That's a good point.
I know. I never understood why they took advantage of that, where it's like, hey, I know we're going to charge you extra for the convenience of not leaving your home.
Well, that's what I was about to say. It's amazing how much some folks will pay for convenience.
But where's the convenience when I can order it online and just have it shipped to the house? Now, I mean, there's convenience, because you have it right then.
Me first, I want it now.
Yeah. I get it. You have it right then and there. Yeah. But it's way more enticing to do that when the price is closer to what's in a store.
Well, with all things considered, which one gets them the bigger profit?
I mean, obviously, full price on the store gets them the bigger profit, but does it get them the sales? That's what I'm curious about. Are people more reluctant to buy it on a digital storefront when the physical copy is half off, but 20 miles away? You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
Digital in that example.
Do what?
I'm buying it digital in that example.
Yeah. Or even if it's 20 miles away, you can still order it from Amazon. Is the cost of you waiting worth, I don't know, whatever the difference in price is, but almost all the time you can't find a deal online on those storefronts, like PlayStation Store, Microsoft Store, whatever. Mm-hmm. You can't find a deal that beats the one you'll find physically on a copy of a game. Mm-hmm. It's always a little bit more online.
Yeah.
This is my first $70 game, too, so I got to think clearly on this.
What was the last game you bought at launch?
Probably Starfield.
Okay, you're right.
I don't think that was a $70 game, though. I don't think it was.
Well, no. I mean, still, it was a game you bought at launch, just like I did.
Was around 50?
No, I think it was still 60.
Okay.
I think
Starfield was 60, yeah.
Starfield was 60, okay.
Yeah, definitely. We got to take a break. What was the other thing I wanted to tell you? And it was in my head now, and now it's gone.
I wanted to ask RJ about just his thoughts. I know you don't want to retread everything, but if he is enjoying Division 2 or not.
Yeah, I'm enjoying Division 2. I'm having a good time with the way the guns and everything functions in the game and getting, of course, getting all the fun loot and everything. But I've gotten to the point where there's a certain weapon I love more than anything else. Two. The Bakers does it in the 1886. The single shots, like the scout rifles in Destiny.
Yeah.
Those are the ones. And the enemies actually react when they get hit from it, because I've seen some real...
It's got a kickback to it? Or like a knockback effect?
Yeah, it's got a knockback effect. I've seen enemies soak up bullets from an auto rifle, but one hit from an 1886 and they feel it.
Okay.
So I like that aspect of it, because I've seen a whole bunch of bullet sponges. And I was told that there were some enemies, especially at the higher levels, the bullet sponges they become. So you got to have something to make them knock them off balance. But the way the guns are acting, the way the mission structures, I'm having a really good time with it, especially with friends.
Oh, yeah. Friends make everything better.
Oh, I remember what I was going to ask you, Steve. And Josh had mentioned it in the chat room. Space Marine 2.
Oh, I forgot about that. I really did.
I watched a review on that from Skillup, and he was talking about the fact here are my problems, and there were like four. And then he said, like, here are the four problems I have with it. Now, for the rest of the 20 minutes of the 30 minutes of this video, let me gush, because he had nothing but fantastic things to say about it. And it really enticed me a little bit. Even though I didn't play the first one, I was really, and he was like, you don't have to play the first one. You can just jump right into the second one. No problem. So,
Yeah, and that is co-op too, and I know
that's the one I was thinking about. That was the one I was thinking about, co-op, because you can play that game through the whole thing through co-op.
Yeah, and that's going to be, I think, a blast to play through.
I think so too.
I've been into the lore that all. Like, I gave up trying to understand anything. I just like the gameplay of these games.
All right, Steve. Well, hang tight, because we got to take a break. We got to come right back. I got to get these commercials in, man. So just hang tight. I'll be right back. We got music here from, they're not all NES games, although this still is Nintendo. We're going to go to the Nintendo 64 and play the main menu music for Excitebike 64. We'll be back for more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. back to in-game chat. We're going back to the NES for a game called California Games on the old NES. This was another game that I had. Or I rented, maybe. I don't know. God, it was bad.
More imaginative than Heavy Barrel.
Oh, yeah, totally. No, you had like a half pipe. You had surfing. You had Frisbee.
Frisbee toss, yeah.
Yeah, and then there was Hacky Sack, which was really tough. I could never get Hacky Sack. I couldn't get Hacky Sack in real life, much less in a video game, though. Mm. Uncoordinated as all hell. So, we don't have a lot of time left, although Steve's still here with us. We may be getting a PC port for Red Dead Redemption. That has been apparently revealed in a PlayStation store, and I think we are maybe getting something like that. It'll be great if we do.
Wait, what do you mean?
Red Dead on PC, the first one.
Oh, the first one.
Yes. Yes. The first one. Hey, either of you seen Borderlands movie?
No, but I've been hearing about it. I've been hearing a lot about it.
I've been hearing a lot about it too. Just curious if either of you saw it.
I mean, has it gotten to the point where there's so much talk about it you have to see for yourself?
I mean, I'll watch it eventually. I'm not going to the theater, but I'll watch it.
Because that's how Ghostbusters 2016 was for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 3D on that was still cool. Anyway, you were saying, Steven?
I'm the same with you. I'm not going to the theater to see it, but I need to watch it just to see what all. I read a couple of reviews.
So Is it like
it can't be as bad as everyone says?
I hear it's really, really bad.
Like the trailer's not bad. I understand the casting of it. Mm-hmm. It almost feels like that. I think this analogy has been said before, but this game's 10 years too late. And maybe these characters 10 years ago, I can see it maybe working a little bit more, but it's just, I mean, Moxie is being played by Jamie Lee Curtis?
Is she?
I thought she was playing Dr. Tanis.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's correct. But is it Gina Gershon then?
Gina Gershon?
That's playing Moxie.
Okay.
I don't know.
She is. Like, again, I don't mean to age discriminate, you know, some of the actresses out there, but Moxie's like a young character in a game, and Gina Gershon's pushing 70. So I don't know why, like, the choices of all these, the casting is very odd to me, you know. Even with, I love Kate Blanchett. Like, I think that she would be a good Lilith in it, you know, in any. 10 years ago, but I question just why they went with her at this point.
Yeah, so I don't have that kind of connection to the franchise to really be thrown off by really any of the casting, I guess. I played Borderlands 1 and then I think maybe tried to play 2, and that was about all I got into my Borderlands mm-hmm. 1 I played a ton of and really enjoyed it, but my memory of Or even my attachment to it has no bearing on casting of the film at all.
Mm-hmm. If I had to just throw out blatant statements, like Borderlands 2 is probably the best co-op game ever made.
I know, like, and I missed out on that so badly.
Yeah, it's up there. I mean, okay, I'm Left 4 Dead. I'm going to get there's other games that just popped in after I said that. But Borderlands 2 was such a step up from the first game, and it hit all the right things with all the characters, and it was funny. And again, playing with friends off of that, that's all great. But the franchise has kind of been a little bit stale since then. I don't think they've been able to kind of capture that magic before. And if this movie had come out maybe right after Borderlands 2 came out, then I can see like some attention to it and, you know, culturally relevant and all that.
Did you
stuff.
Do the did you do Tales? Did you do Tales of the Borderlands?
That's been on my short list for my deck for a long time. Okay. But no, I haven't done Tales yet. I did Borderlands 3, did the pre-sequel, and I didn't do the Tiny Tina yet, but I think Tiny Tina, who's featured in the movie, is one of the best NPCs that's ever been created.
Yeah, see, I haven't experienced that. Because of just Borderlands 1 is all I played, so.
And I don't blame you, because Borderlands 1, it was like, go here, kill these dog things, come back, go kill more dog things over here. Like, it took a very long time to kind of build up to something.
Right, but we only played it in co-op. It was me and RJ and James and Jeremy, I think, and we were only playing in co-op when we played it. And that was enjoyable to do that with the group. I mean, co-op is enjoyable in almost any iteration.
Like the worst game's great. Like Resident Evil 6 has co-op. It's terrible, but I think I enjoyed playing it just from playing co-op with somebody and like complaining about it as we're playing it.
Right. Resident Evil 5 had co-op, and that's how I played Resident Evil 5. We tried to play Resident Evil 6 and we could do it. We were like, ugh, this is not fun. Even in co-op, we're like, nah, we're all right. 5 was okay. We'll stick with 5. So,
that's so true.
I mean, it was, yeah, it was bad. Man, good to hear from you again. I hope you enjoy your, let us know what you do with Star Wars here. We got to run because we got less than a minute left. So, but thank you for joining us on the show, man.
Yeah, roger that. I'll try to join earlier. I know I always kind of end up in the at the end, but I'll see if I can get in there a little. We can chat about some other things.
All right, dude. Well, take care.
You too, guys.
All take right. care. Bye. See you.
Have a good one.
I see Chris in there as well, but we've got to run. We are just less than a minute here. I want to thank everybody for joining us on this show, on Twitch, on Discord, everywhere. Really, really appreciate you guys listening to the show and coming out each week and enjoying us and supporting us as well. Thank you for joining us. We have find us on iTunes. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on our Discord here. Go to ingamechat.net to find all the links to get in touch with us through Facebook and Twitter and everything else. And thank you again so much. Have a fantastic week. Here is music. I didn't know they made a Super Nintendo version of Side Pocket, but here's the music from it. We'll see you next Saturday.